our daddy in the Lord, a friend of Grace Life Center. He's always eager to come and be a blessing to this church. Can we put our hands together for our daddy in the Lord, Pastor Greg Umu? Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Daddy Gio, God bless you. Thank you, sir. You're welcome, sir. Amen. It's a very big privilege for me this evening to share with us about revival, how it comes about. Some people understand that it is all about God. God does it. God does everything. God brings revival. But we have discovered that the human factor in it, when God doesn't have somebody on ground to act on what he has said and to pray, it doesn't come as we expect. Isn't it? But thank God that God has you around now. So there will be revival.
Amen.
This moment, we are going to actually pray that there will be revival.
Amen.
And we are going to take hold of one factor that God will see in us, and before you know it, an instrument of generating revival in this time. Tell the Lord to depend on you. Tell the Lord to depend on me, so that revival shall come. Cost what it may. And you are going to see the cost. There is something it will cost us for revival to come. We want to discuss just one out of many things. But once this one is secured, every other thing, it takes shape. Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless your holy name. We want to honor you. You are the God of revival. You are always bringing change. You are always generating life out of deadness. You are always pouring out your spirit when you see willing people. You are always bringing in our time. And take us, O Lord, take hold of us as we share this word. As many as we hear this message, Lord, make them instrument of generating revival. And give us no rest until we have fulfilled their goal. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Once again, I say to you, God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now so, this factor is simple. The GEO captioned it, made it clear. I want to discuss with us. Now it is obvious that God is out to expand this place. Is that very clear?
Yes, sir.
If you know that the general overseer is here and has constantly been visiting here to help, and if you know his demand elsewhere, there is a reason why God has brought him. And those of us who are here in the morning, you see that he hit so hard and prayed for us the prayer of dedication. Are we there?
Yes,
something is going to happen.
Amen.
Can somebody say there is revival?
There is revival.
Yeah. Now, this one major factor that promotes the realization of God's agenda for any people in any dispensation, it has all been there in any dispensation, in any time. When God wants to bring revival, he must secure the commitment of somebody. Is that very clear?
Yes, sir.
God has never brought out a major revival, a major issue in life, in history, without first of all securing somebody's word, commitment to cooperate with him. Who is that person? that God is looking for. God will be looking for a musician, somebody in this place who will be committed to make the music become exciting. God will be committed to look for somebody in the prayer cell whose commitment will carry the burden of the church. God will look for somebody in the choir whose dedication and commitment will lift the church, even if nothing else is happening. God is looking for an usher whose dedication, if you see the way he will receive people, if you see the way he will organize, you will think that ushering is now the best. He will be the best or the richest. But the dedication and the commitment towards funding the work of the ministry, it will frighten you. God cannot do anything serious where there is no commitment. Is that very clear? So we are going to discuss it. And we are going to look at the history lane in the Bible. And you see, it has been God's agenda over the years to handle. You know, I have told you that God's method is what? Man. Let somebody say, God's method is man. In our language, we say that God is Ojimademe. He will wait. He won't go into it until the man is looking for appearance. Could it be that God is waiting for you? Could it be that God is waiting for me? Could it be that God is waiting for you in your family? Could it be that you are the person that God is waiting for in this Maryland? Could it be that you are the person that God is waiting for in the CRM? Maybe at the end of this message, you will have gotten a good message, an instruction from the Lord. Maybe there are some hazy ideas in your mind. Maybe God has been calling you and you don't understand AI. May the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we are saying here, God secured the commitment of Moses before he proceeded for the liberation of Israelites from in Egypt. Am I there? All the time the Israelites were crying. All the time they were weeping. All the time they were being flogged. All the time the suffering was increasing. His words. And secured his words. Commitment. Look at what. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Yes, come up. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and the land of the Hittites and the Jebusites. Yes? Now, listen carefully. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children. God said, I have seen it before. Are you there? He is now asking Moses to do what? See what I am seeing. I have seen it myself. In case you don't know, I want you to see. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Yes, go to 10. Come now, see unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Who is initiating the project? God. Who did he say was going to bring them out from here? Moses. Hello? Now, God doesn't embark on any revival, any major change, any major issue without the commitment of an anchor man. He has never done it before. He wouldn't do it in our time. Is that very clear? And so, if today there there is nobody in this church that God is securing his soul. If there is one usher, if there is one pastor, if there is one prayer cell person, if there is one musician, if there is one choir person, that God secures his commitment, that I'm going to do something spectacular in this church. I am going, do you agree with me? And that person says, depend on me. Once God secures that person, watch it. It's a function of time. You will see revival.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that very clear?
Yes,
now, let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. He secured the commitment of who? Gideon. It doesn't matter how the people cried. It doesn't matter how they were impoverished. It doesn't matter what happened. It was only after he secured the commitment of Gideon that the march toward liberation did what? Took off. Look at Judges chapter 6. Now, please show us here. I want us to Judges from verse 13 to 16. Let's see what it looked like. Judges chapter 6. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Yes, move. And the Lord looked upon him. Did you notice that? The Lord looked upon this body that was fallen. The Lord looked upon this commitment. The Lord looked and said, this man will be willing to go with me. Since he is burning, he has already seen what I've seen. He said, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Move. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save? And I am the least in my father's house. And what about it? And look at what. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The commitment of Gideon, when God laid hands on that commitment, was the trigger that pulled out Israelites from the dominion of the Midianites. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
It was a major revival. Gideon wasn't in the army. And he wasn't one that put. The burning desire was in him. His eyes were seeing what God was seeing. Is there somebody that is hearing me? Is there a person, a woman, a man, a young, an old person who hears God that CRM US is not what it's supposed to be? And that God is looking for somebody whose commitment he will lay hold on. Take for example, with the credentials of Gideon, was he qualified to lead Israel? No way. I am from a poor family, so I can't finance the election. I won't be voted. They won't even choose me. And in the midst of the family, I am the least. We are poor. We are also from a minority. This thing I have found in your heart. This might. This ambition that I'm seeing in your heart. That's what I need. Go in this might. If you go with this might and I'm with you, you will smite the Midianites as one man. One man. Revival. Is anybody hearing me?
Yes, sir.
That God is not looking for a crowd. God is looking for a person whose commitment he will secure. And something will happen. Otherwise, you will see that when people come and it is not happening as they want, the tendency is that I don't want to continue in this place. I don't like the way their choir is. I don't like the way they sing. I don't like that high commitment comes. The scattered nature of the environment is an opportunity for him.
Yes.
Is that very clear?
Yes.
The non-functioning of the place is the opportunity that will promote him. While others will see it as downfall and because of it they will run away, he will see it as opportunity to raise testimony. That is what happens. I don't know whether I'm speaking to somebody this evening. Maybe I am.
You are.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, in order to bring the Redeemer, Jesus, on earth, as a human being, God secured the commitment of Blessed Mary to the project. Luke chapter, salvation of man through the incarnation of Jesus on earth. But he looked around. It couldn't happen until he secured the commitment of a young lady. And when he sent an angel to tell the lady that this is my plan, I want to involve you in this plan. Just. The lady said, but this is my handicap. It will bring scandal. It will say, forget about it. I am bigger than your scandal. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Some people are afraid of yielding to God because of scandal, because of whatever people will say. Mary, do you know this is my, God said, forget about it. I will take care of it. He said, let it be unto me according to your word. Commitment. Immediately God secured the commitment of Blessed Mary. The incarnation of Jesus came to be. And that is why we are enjoying salvation today. It's the greatest revival that has ever taken place.
Yes.
Am I communicating?
Yes.
Because a woman yielded her commitment to the Lord. You may think that what God is looking for is only men. It's only very wealthy, big bishops. No, he is looking for everybody. At whatever, all these people we are talking about, none of them was the front runner. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Gideon wasn't the front runner. Moses, that was in exile in Egypt, in Fire, Medina, whatever, and at the age of 84, wasn't the front runner. Or Mary, that is a girl, wasn't the front runner. So don't ever think that you cannot be useful. Don't ever think that you are not the person God is looking for. Don't ever think that God is looking for somebody else apart from you. It can be you. And as a matter of fact, it is you. And Jesus was leaving the earth. The church was scattered. Hello?
Hi.
He has been training people. Sometimes when he preached serious, tough messages like in John's Gospel chapter 6, the people he has gathered will do what? Scatter. Some people are saying, so if this man is saying like this, we cannot continue in his church, then we desert him. At a particular time, by the time he was leaving, only about 12. But look at what happened. Why is a church surviving today? Jesus secured the commitment of one man. In spite of how in chapter 21 from verse 14 to 17, let's read it. Say, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. You know that when he died, they scattered, including Peter. Now, so when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Take note of that. More than. Can I trust you? Are you committed to me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know that Peter took charge in spite of insult, in spite of how he was killed? Peter was not among the well-read in the disciples. Are you there? How was he going to secure the corporation? How was he going to gather and minister and take care of these other big guys? He learned to humble himself because he got committed. Before you know it, the church started growing. Peter took his seat in Jerusalem, and every activity he insisted, and today the church succeeded.
Amen.
It was a major revival. And Peter was there when the Pentecost came.
Yes.
And when the Pentecost came, Peter preached the message.
Yeah.
Once this Peter gives his commitment to God, in the next few months, in the next few years, you will see the result of what we are talking about today. We are not theorizing. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
I am telling you, it is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the Peter is in this place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of course, yesterday, especially for those of us who are new to CRM, before God started CRM and the great revival that came, he secured the commitment of somebody. Did you hear it yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
God convinced somebody that you will run to anywhere.
Yes.
And when God laid hands on him and convinced him, in spite of being chased away, expelled, thrown away, messed up, I was in the meeting that was called in the University of Ife sometime around November or October in 1982. I went to that meeting from Port Harcourt as a youth couple. I haven't seen him before. I didn't know that I was charismatic in that place. One Gloria Ihue was a student of uniform. He got here later. And I was trying to rear up the group in uniform by then. Gloria brought that letter to me. I told him that this meeting, when my person that came to that meeting that changed my life, God used his journey. One is that they made arrangements for us. We didn't pay for food. They paid for our accommodation and for our food. I was imagining students. You know, I was a copper. You know what it means. I say, how come? During that meeting, God pointed out that he was going to make a move from this point and that we should key in. After the break, I called a meeting of all the people that came from we didn't have an idea of where we are going. But when we saw that it is clear that there is a place God has, I called a meeting of said, look, because of what God has said in this meeting, God said he's going to move and that he's going to be a united movement, that we are going to consecrate and dedicate our group to line up.
Amen.
That was the day, the River State day, lined up. And there in the University of Ife ground, we made prayer commitment and told God that whatever, wherever you are taking these people to, take us along.
Amen.
And that was why, when one of my friends, who should have known, when it intended to flow in this river, don't bring whatever. He said, be very careful. The rest was a story. Zero knows what I'm talking about. Now, so, in that meeting, God clearly pointed. And that was the day I knew him. In that prophecy, God called him by name. called him by name and said he was going to use him to do great things. He was said, and then, so that was, as far as I'm concerned, then God has said something. And it's clear to me that it's God. I don't joke with it. That was the day life. And it will keep helping me. Let me tell you, here today, God is calling somebody. Is that very clear?
Yes, sir.
This work in the U.S. will survive.
Yeah.
This work will prosper.
Yeah.
You know, I've told you this thing time after time. If you see, excuse me, a lot of you are facing challenges. The whole challenge you are facing, it can be in marriage, it can be in childbearing, it can be in a lot of things. The whole challenge is aimed at making you distracted, making you to think that God doesn't want you. But let me tell you, if God secures your commitment, those challenges will fizzle out. And it's going to happen. God is looking for something. In Jerusalem, in Rome, and the Gentiles, he secured the commitment of Paul. Am I communicating? God secured Paul's commitment at the time of world conversion. Say, I will show him where he is going. I will use him to reach what? Kings and the Gentiles. If you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 9, from verse 4 to 6, and from verse 15 to 16, you will see that God doesn't move in any direction until he has the commitment of the person he is going. Can God trust you for what he wants to do in this church? That's the answer. Praise the Lord. I've given you an example of Gideon. I've given you an example of our Jesus. I've given you an example of Jesus and Mary. I've given you an example of Paul. There is one thing common in the life of a committed person. There is one ingredient you must find, and you will know that there is commitment. That ingredient is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16, showcase it. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Listen now, I want us to read here together. For necessity in the heart of any committed person. Until you see what you are meant to do, as necessity is what? Laid on me, not based on confidence. Are you hearing me? It is only when you see assignment as necessity is laid upon me. And woe is me if I won't do it. If you have not come to this point, you don't have commitment. Moses came to this point. He said, okay, you bloody man. Gideon came to this point when he destroyed the shrine of his father. And all that he did, he was ready to die. Paul came to this point. You don't do what you are committed to do because of confidence. You are not committed when an issue has an opening for you to escape. There is no commitment when you can afford to give excuse. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Commitment is only when this thing is there. Necessity is laid upon you. And you cannot yet be committed. Until there is this conviction that if I don't do this thing, I'm perish. If you ask my wife, in the very year we were there, my father wanted to cut my neck. It's not an issue of child's play, because there was a shrine in our community that God told me to uproot. That this is part of why he's raising me. I went, and my father was in the of the village. I went and told my father that this thing, God has asked me to remove it. Say, what is it standing for? Did the sign ask you to worship him? I said, forget about it. I want to let you know that I'm going to do it. So, the following morning, by the time I was praying very early in the morning, about 5 a.m. in the morning, they came and knocked at my door. And when I came and knocked at my door, I came out. In the early morning, around 5 a.m., all the big people and the shrine leaders in our community, we are now in our family. They asked me to sit down. My father presented, but I told him that this, that they know the history of this thing. That I said I was good, that they want to ask me what this thing has done to me. That so all the Ojofors, the people that I do, they say yes, they want to hear what I want to say. And that so the whole idea, the meeting was kept in such a way that once it will be ended at, if you do it, you are killed. So that is the sanction they came to impose on me. My father has discovered that he can't do it as a person. He wants to use the communal agreement now to impose it on me. By the time they finished, I called my dad. I said, Papa, what do you call me? You don't call me Greg. He said, yes. So what do you call me? He said, he called me his father. So because my father calls me his father. I called my senior uncle. So what do you call me? He said, he called me. All that, your father, as the leader of the community, played a key role in bringing this shrine to the community. Isn't it? And that is why you are so committed to making sure that nobody touches the heritage of your ancestor. Now, I am not your father, in case you don't know. I am Gray. But let me tell you, for now, let's take it that you are right. If I am your father, and I brought this thing, and none of you buried me. Do you know why I came back? Whether it's to remove something I have now known that it was bad that I brought for the village. Because nobody quarreled with me when I brought it. Nobody will quarrel with me now that I'm going to remove it. So, because they didn't expect this answer. So, the major of your former said, my dear, who did you this? He ran away. Behold, my father and the rest of them, there we are. This time, the meeting ended, and I went to my room. The following day, I gathered my team, and we went. My father went to market somewhere, because this time he had been disturbed. So, and some people went and told him that his son has done this activity. I came all the way from there. Rush. When he came, he went and took his machete. And started. So when he started pursuing one of the young people that went with me, I saw that person be killed. I said, Papa, here I am. Don't drop this man. Papa came with sword and ready to cut my neck. I look at myself and defeated. Not this morning. So the devil doesn't want. He wants to intimidate you when you want to be committed. So when event was over, he became my disciple. Yeah. Papa got born again. Yeah. And through him now, I presided over the village. He took me to all the places where he gathered the idolatrous priests and told them that his son has a message from God.
for them.
Papa was now championing the sanitization of the village. It was through him that God helped me to uproot everything in the community, because he was the leader of the village. He was. So by the time God, I wouldn't even be a minister today. Because those things would have cost me a stumbling block. They would have hindered me. I would have lived in fear. And they would have tortured me. But today I'm marching over them.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I am building my house right in one of the biggest forests that was given to that shrine. And it is a big space. That place is captioned the Pastor Grace Square. It's the best, the most precious site in our community. Then you have come there. Then God is looking for somebody to be committed. God had the power to remove those idols in the land. But until he saw a man with his commitment, until he secured the commitment of the man, it didn't happen. What we have seen in the CRN today is the little commitment God saw. If we renew our commitment, see or listen, we are going back to renew our commitment.
Amen.
If we renew our dedication and renew our commitment and say, God, give us a bigger revival, it will happen.
Amen.
And it must happen. And in this camp where we are going to renew our commitment.
Amen.
Something must happen.
Yes.
Amen. Commitment generates focus. A committed person is what?
Focused.
Nehemiah was what? Focused because of commitment to the rebuilding. There were threats for his against his life. Tobiah said, let's go and sleep in the altar so that nobody will kill us. You see, am I the person that's going to be afraid of death? It's not better that I die where I'm walking. They used every manner of distraction. A committed person cannot be distracted.
Yes, sir.
Why we are facing distraction is lack of what? Commitment is discipline. Anybody that is committed to something has self-discipline. Because even your resources, you know how to channel everything you are doing. Because whatever doesn't come to what you are committed to, you don't have time. You don't have time for draft. You don't have time for this. You don't have time because there is something that is doing what? Consuming your thoughts. There is something that is a waking thought. There is something that you will dream every day. There is something that you will wake up to think about. Commitment generates discipline. Commitment also generates consistency. Anybody that is committed is always what? That will be strength. Will always give you victory.
Amen.
We have prayer every 5 o'clock. And consistently, we attend that prayer every 5 o'clock. Even if it is only 5 minutes. That consistency for many years will give birth to victory.
Amen.
The Jews today, I was in New York, met my friend. Now, he is serving a Jew. Every day, there is a time they must go to their synagogue, even when they are in the U.S. They focus on what they are doing and they are prospering. Consistency is usually generated in the life of a committed person. And when you see somebody who will go, do something today and tomorrow he has a lot of excuses. The other day he has a, and he said, the other day he said, I don't like the way this brother looked at me today. The other day he said, the way Sister Anne is saying doing this is not. The problem is that there's no word commitment. When there is commitment, no distraction. Everything, Commitment also generates zeal. Commitment will pay for it. You'll be zealous of it. You talk about it. You act it. You sing it. You show it. You showcase it. You draw it. Wherever, in every way, your zeal will accomplish great things. Praise the Lord. Now, commitment usually is contagious. When you see somebody that is committed, his commitment gets others what? Committed. I have told you what we saw in the meeting in 1982 in Ife.
Yes.
Why did I get involved? Their own commitment did what? Drew. Pastor Jerry was a class below me in the same secondary school. And as our secondary school was a very reputable one, and we weren't friends, but we weren't enemies. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Suddenly, when I got that place, I saw, yes, is this not Jerry Oka of a message? I came close. I looked at him. And lo and behold, he was. I didn't know he was a stranger of Ife back then. And when I saw him, it was part of why I made the commitment. One is that this is my junior student. And it was their commitment that brought my own commitment.
Amen.
Do you understand? Yes. Commitment is usually what? Contagious. When you are serving under a non-committed pastor, you cannot be committed. It's difficult. Except God touches you. When you are under a prayer cell where the leader is not committed, you will find it difficult to be committed. When you are in a choir where the leadership is not committed, you will find it difficult to be serious and be committed. That is why when we want to make appointments, if somebody is gifted and not committed, he won't help you. Commitment is usually contagious. Once you see somebody that is committed, he draws what the ministries. Everywhere you see a committed leader, the people will flow that way. So, brethren, US CRM is going places.
Amen.
And it is because, and I want us to know, from what commitment is usually a product or an offspring of revelation knowledge. Somebody that has not known the importance of that issue cannot be committed to it. You see that God told Moses, I have seen the cry of the what? Of the Israelites in Egypt. I want you also to see it. In the language of Zebediah in Nigeria, he will say, are you see what I've saw? That was actually what God was telling Moses. I have seen the cry, the pains of the Israelites. Do you see it? He saw that Gideon was already doing what? Burning with a revelation knowledge of what it means for Israelites to be in bondage when they have a great God that delivers. And when God told him, you are going to be used. So, you cannot be committed to what you don't deeply understand. You cannot be committed to what you do not have a revelation knowledge of. May the Lord give you revelation knowledge of his plan for CRMUS. Knowledge. Revelational knowledge. Once you have that, you cannot but be committed. Praise God. I want us to see Jesus' view on commitment. How does Jesus rate commitment as some of the things he needs? How does Jesus look at commitment? Now in Mark chapter 3, verse 32 to 33. He said, whosoever confesseth me, I will confess. Whoever is ashamed of me, I will be what? Ashamed of. In other words, if you are not committed to him, he will be committed to you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 25, this commitment is repeated by the entire synoptic gospel. Even Mark, even Luke, they all mention, say, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24, say, every disciple must give up his own desire so that he will take the desire of the Lord. Every disciple. Commitment involves doing what? Losing your own desire, dropping your own desire, and going to meet the desire of the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready for that? So it's important. So commitment demands choice. That's what I want to say. Commitment demands what?
Choice.
If you want to choose your own pleasure, the pleasure of our God will suffer. If you want to choose your own desire, the desire of our God goes. If you want to choose your own way, the way of our God will be chosen. It demands choice. So either you deny yourself or you deny Jesus. Either you go his way or pursue your own way. Disciples will be committed to him, or that is it. Commitment. This is what gave the work success in Nigeria. And this is, there is no new way yet for the success of this work. Is it understood?
Yes, sir.
There is no new way. It's commitment that will make this place to be a place of many heads and many hands. It's commitment that we lift up the name of the Lord. It's commitment that will bring them. If somebody